Hey, I'm Rita.
And I'm Lee.
And welcome to the Me For Her podcast.
We are two gay girls living polar opposite lives on different sides of the country, here to talk shit and share with you our experiences between 20 and 30. Hello and welcome back to the Me For Her pod. It is my last one before I pop. Literally feel like I am going to pop. Tonight's a bit of a random one. We're talking a little bit. I'm giving a bit of an update on my pregnancy. I'm actually on a bit of a social media hiatus at the moment, so I haven't had Instagram.
I made her reinstall Instagram for this, guys.
She did.
Just so you know.
And so for the last few weeks I've been off it, and we're going to get an update on Rita's dating life. I don't know how much detail she's going to give, but let's hope a lot. And we're talking all things friendship. Friendship from when we're young to now, navigating it through adulthood, and Mark becoming parents. So, strap yourselves in, because who knows what will come up. These random ones are always the best.
I actually got told last week that someone loved our Mardi Gras episode because we just talk shit, and that's their favourite type of episodes. They don't want the interviews. They just want me and you authentically talking shit.
Oh, well, I am A+ at talking shit. Like, it's like my thing.
It should be on your resume and CV. I'm not going to lie.
It should.
Well, let's kick things off with talking about our childhood friendships, because, like, when I think of my childhood,
I thought we were doing updates on life first, Rita.
Oh, my God, sorry. All this technology, I'm just overwhelmed. I'm sorry.
It's because you got distracted by the fact you went and got changed for going live.
You're right. She's not going to lie. I looked like a sweaty, drowned rat, which is not wrong, and I put a shirt on. Sup? Sup, Wizzy?
You got out of a long sleeve and got in a long sleeve.
Shut up. Stop telling everyone my trade secrets, okay? All right, let's go back to the agenda. Lee's preggers update is what my agenda says. And go.
Not a lot. Still pregnant. Due next week. So we're hoping for this weekend would be nice, because the following weekend is Easter. And, like, I want to do an Easter egg hunt with Oak, and my midwife has a wedding on, and it's just, you know, this weekend's much better. So we're hoping this weekend or earlier. Like, tonight would be fine. If you
just
live in Perth,
until after this episode, please.
Yeah. Well, if you live in Perth, you'd understand why being pregnant at the moment, heavily pregnant, is not great. The humidity is repulsive. Not a lot to update on. Things are going well. I went and had some acupuncture today just for a little bit of me time to relax. Fell asleep on the bed. Wasn't great.
How do you fall asleep during acupuncture? Like, don't they fucking poke you with needles?
Yeah, but then they leave the room and you're just laying there.
Weird. But show everyone your belly.
Oh, my dress isn't fully on, and so I've just got undies on, so I've got to be very careful with where I stop.
Cute. Oh, my God. I've got the dual angle, because I've got Instagram here and Squadcast here.
Lee. I don't want to give too much away, you know. But
are you having any more of your painies, your little painies?
Oh, yeah, I've had cramps. I've had cramps here and there, but nothing so far. But Taylor, my wife, she was working down south for the last few weeks, like during the week, and was coming home like once during the week, which wasn't ideal because she was only home for like 10 hours and most of that she was asleep for. So my son was a little bit sensitive, a bit emotional, missing her a lot.
So were you, if I recall it. You had
absolutely, but that was mainly because he kept having these emotional moments. And now she's just back working in Perth until I give birth. So that's that's huge. It's so much easier. Just a big, fat, hot, sweaty mess 99% of the day. The only time I'm not is when I'm in the shower. But even the other day I got out of the shower and Tay was like, "You're sweating." And I was like, yeah, I am. I am sweating.
Perth life, hey? Perth life.
Oh,
I do miss it.
Oh, I do.
Are we allowed in your state yet? What's beyond?
Yeah, who cares? You can come whenever you like.
I can't. Literally.
I'm pretty sure you can.
On a plane. I'll jump on a plane, and then McGowan's like, oi, if you got here from 10 days ago, you got to fucking self-isolate, mate, all right?
He's very Australian. Wow, I didn't know he was such a knocker.
Never heard him speak in my life.
No,
anyway.
No. I'm pretty sure you can. I don't know the rules. I don't know. I'm pretty sure. Just come.
I'll take that as you're allowed. Oh, God. I think my phone just died. So am I still live? Probs not.
No, it's a really hot pick of you. So am I just live on my own?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Rita's phone just died, so, yeah.
It's not going to be a very good thing because they won't be able to hear me speak, so you probably just better get off live too.
Yeah, okay. Well, I will chat to you all later. Rita's phone died, so there's no point me being on here anymore because you can't hear her talking anyway. Okay, see you, bye.
Oh, so rookie.com. I knew that was going to happen.
Why didn't you charge your phone?
I literally put it on charge, but I forgot that I've got an adapter that's like half blown up and I put it in one of those sockets.
Oh, amazing. Okay, so update us on dating life, Reet's life. You've been sick.
I've been a little bit sick, which has been unfortunate. Yeah, I think my little rendezvous to Mardi Gras and then just having a social life in general has really just trumped me. And I was like deadly sick for a couple of days, had to push back some recording plans that we had for our next guest. And then I thought I was like better, went to the footy, played footy, and then like I regressed a little bit and I started having a runny nose and what have you. So last couple of days I've just been taking it easy. I still sound a little bit nasally. So I'm getting there one step at a time, but also can't complain because you're like 40 kilos heavier, but it looks a bit.
Also, side note, this isn't being released till next Thursday, right? So let me interrupt and say that at the time of recording, it is the 23rd of March. It is not.
Yes.
So I may have very well given birth by the time this is released.
Yeah, you literally will. You literally will. And I'm getting emotional about, like, you leaving because it's going to be weird, not going to lie. I don't think I can, like, bring myself to do an episode talking just me, like, without you. Like, that's got to be fucking weird.
Yeah, that would be weird for me too. Anyway, continue with your update of life.
My update of life. Well, I shared with you some juicy goss, which I will not elaborate on the pod with, but let's just say
having some fun. To respect someone else, that's why, not because
correct.
We're hiding
not
anything.
No, and like funny because I told you a story and I told KJ a story as well, and she was just like, Does this person not realize that you have a podcast to share like all the funny details of such happenings? And I told her that I would give like a 3-month embargo to protect this person's identity. And then like everything's getting laid bare and we're going to share that story because you pissed yourself too, didn't you? Like
absolutely.
Without saying what I told you, what was your reaction?
Just not shocked, though. Not shocked. Like, it's just such a standard Reet's life story. Like,
yep. Reet'sLife.com.au.
Just laughing face emoji. I think I literally replied.
You did with several, actually.
And, like, oh, my God.
But anyways, so, no, life's good on this end. Work stuff's really good, as you know. Got sort of a new role, which is exciting.
Yes, that is exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you. You know, someone bailed me up at a barbecue one time and was like, what do you actually do? She's like, you know, you buttered us up. You said that you got your dream job but you didn't tell us what you do. And I was like, that's sort of a reason for that. Like trying to keep a little bit of my life personal. You know?
To be honest, babe, my mum asked and I was like, I don't know like the title. I don't really know. I know. And then like I gave her like a very vague description, but like in terms of a title, I don't even really know. So you're keeping it. You're keeping it very secretive, to be honest, because no, I'm not that you've not told me, but if you were to say what's Rita's title, I'd be like, oh.
Fucking legend of the lesbians.
Yeah.
Nah.
Probably not.
Look, it's, babe, it's just a LinkedIn search away. It's not that hard. But anyways,
yeah,
I know you're not very corporate. I've just given everyone a key to my role. But anyways, never mind. Moving right along. Let's talk about friendships. Let's start with childhood friendships. I want to hear about yours. Did you have like a little street buddy?
No. Oh, yeah, we did actually. Yeah, because I had my brother and then two sisters. My two sisters and I sort of typically and my brother played together, but we also had friends like around that sort of we met at the park with and one that lived down the road that we played with a lot. But, no, my closest childhood friends came from like sport, really, athletics and soccer, mainly little athletics, but also school. I seem to have like really close friends when I was a kid instead of like a lot of friends. I always had like the same three or four that I liked to hang out with. But, yeah, because we were doing so much sport like soccer, netball, athletics all at the one time, we had so many different friends from different like avenues of life. And I had my real favourites like that I hung out with all the time. I have one friend that I have very fond memories with from primary school that lived on this amazing cul-de-sac in this suburb right next to the beach, and I was there whenever I could be. And she lived on a street. She lived on a cul-de-sac full of kids. So it was amazing. And, yeah, we had a really, really, really great friendship. But, yeah, naturally.
Were you just allowed to go out and play, like, until dark with your friends?
Yeah, on her street, yeah, absolutely. On our street, it wasn't like a main road, but there was cars coming and going. So, like, we weren't typically allowed to just be on the street. But Mum definitely trusted us to be out at the park until, like, a certain time, and then we'd make our way back. And but at my friend's house, yeah, we were out there till dark for sure because it was a cul-de-sac. There was no one coming and going. And it was just for the kids. Yep. And it was amazing. It's exactly what you picture as a childhood, you know, back when we were growing up compared to now. But, yeah, I definitely remember spending a lot of, like, weekends out on the street just burning our feet and just living the dream.
Don't you think it's so funny that, like, talking from my own experience, like you were pretty much automatically friends with anyone in your class. Like now, if they were to put us in a room full of 25 other people and say, these are your friends, like we don't as easily find common ground and like things to talk about. But back then they just put us in a room and it was like, you're automatically best friends, or like your mum's friends' kids, you know, like yeah. You had to become friends with them and then like they're your best friends forever. Like it was so simple back then.
No, but do you know what's funny is like, so I went to a private primary school, so, and it, like the classes were really big. There was like 90 kids in each year group. And I remember my mum telling me only recently that my pre-primary teachers when I was in year three saw me a few times out in the playground, like playing by myself. And they actually like spoke to my mum and spoke to my teacher to talk to my mum about it. And like mum then confronted me about it. And mum said, no, like I still have my friends, but I just don't like what they're playing. So I prefer to play by myself. Like
you said that.
Yeah. I just said,
a little independent gal.
Well, which surprised me because I've always liked being like with friends. My friend that I'm talking about spending a lot of time with on weekends, she was one of my friends at that time. And I think, yeah, it was just a matter of I really wanted to play soccer. And, like, if the boys weren't letting us or I didn't just go play with the girls. I must have just did my own thing, which is a bit weird for year three. So the teachers were sort of worried about me socially, but apparently Mum asked me and I was like, no, I'm just too fucking cool for that shit.
Wow. I could see that actually. It explains a lot.
Oh, what about you? Were you out and about, like, on the street? Were you living in your mum's house that she's in now as a kid?
Yeah. And we had, like, the little park behind and the laneway with the basketball court and stuff from the hood. So my first memories of friends – well, actually, I had some friends at childcare where my mum works and just retired from. And I made friends with a boy that had the same birthday as me. His name was Morris, so I remember that.
Love that
But
name.
Then – Morris. Well, pity it's not three letters. You can't take it, babe.
We're not trying to get a three-letter name. It's a girl.
It's just every name you've told me, three letters.
We do love short names, but it's, yeah.
More. Anyway. Just call your daughter More.
Actually, Morris could be a boy or girl. Who cares? Anyway, carry on.
Anyways, so Morris, whatever. And then I just had like neighborhood little kitty friends, like Nathan from Two Doors Down. We just dressed up all the time and he was a good time. He was quite funny. And then primary school, my mum started working with someone who had a granddaughter at the school that I was going to transfer to, because I initially just went to one that my sister went to and then didn't really like it that much. And so I moved, and then like I just got told to ask for Jess in the class, who was my mum's friend's granddaughter, and we became besties, me and JJ, up through high school, and then sort of, well, we're still friends to this day, to be honest. We just don't hang out all the much, but we chat all the time on socials. So, yeah, I've got fond memories of childhood friendships, mainly from either where I lived or, like, the school that I went to, you know?
Yeah, I think for me, like, through social media, and this is the good thing about social media, have still kept in contact with that same friend from primary school. And if I see her mum or her sister, which I do because we all live sort of similar places still, it's we're not strangers. We'll chat and say hello.
Yeah.
Catch up. And through high school, because then I started playing soccer so competitively, my best friend sort of came, and like you came from, I had my literally school best friends. Same. Yeah, had my school best friends, but my time was at soccer, and then on weekends I was at soccer. So then I'd end up at soccer friends' houses for sleepovers and on the weekends and stuff like that. So my attention was more with my soccer friends. No. And because I went to a soccer school, some of them were the same people. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and then as I sort of like went through high school, it became like my soccer friends, and then, yeah, throughout leaving school and then teenage and then early 20s, again, they were soccer friends because, again, I was playing soccer all the time. And then you sort of
did you have party friends, like when you were, you know, of age and going clubbing and stuff, did you have friends that were just sort of party friends? Because I think it's important to differentiate between like those and your actual genuine best friend, which I copped a few lectures on from either my mum or I don't know who, sort of saying, you know, you've got friends, but who are your real friends that are actually going to take care of you if you're sick at a party, you know?
Well, I didn't really go to any parties until like 19, 20-ish. I didn't go to parties in high school or anything. I was too busy, like, being an athlete. the friends I would go out with were my friends that I was with during the week or talking to during the week, and they were my solid group of friends. And then heading into like my 20s, I had that core group of friends. Oh, Claire and I have been friends since we were like 16. Yeah.
Love you, Claire. Yep.
And
topical.
But then I got my my core group of friends that I met through soccer, who you then were introduced to, and yeah, you became solid with, and we'd go out together, we'd play soccer together, we'd cry together, we'd laugh together. Like, we did it all. It was like everything of life was, and you know, breakups, makeups, like it was all that one group. And that's
pretty special. I think I was like, I had that sort of thing, but a few years earlier in Melbourne. It was like when Cammy was with Megan, when I was with Baxi, like Kylie Nicolacci, of course, name drops. We had like that sort of a group in Melbourne, and like we'd go out all the time, spend all the time in each other's pockets. I think it was a bit before like group message stage, but
yeah.
And then that sort of died down, and I really appreciated what it was when I came back to Perth and got to experience it again, but with you guys, because a few of the girls were a little bit younger and that was sort of happening again then. And it's just, it's so special when your whole friendship group is getting along. No one's fucking in a breakup or a bitch fight with each other, which happens and did happen in our group, you know, towards the end. But
absolutely,
I just think those times are so special, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I look back on those times and I just have such fond memories. We had like next to nil responsibility. Like, we were all working and like looking after ourselves, and you know, we were living lives during the week, but then on weekends we'd go out, and even during the week, and it was just like an extended family. And I look back with such fond memories of how free-spirited we were and how careless we were, and we were able to because we were so young and we had each other to fall back on. And there was drama, there was fights, there were relationships within the circle. There was, life, really hard times in life, personally for us all, and we were there for each other. And I think I'll always hold a fond place in my heart for all those girls who I still speak to.
Yeah, we both do.
Yeah, who I still speak to, and there's a couple of them that, you know, still come to my events of life, and I go to some of theirs. And, you know, you grow up and you move on and life changes and you evolve and you other things become a priority. But, I think friendships just become different when you become a parent, and two, you get older. To me now, like, those friendships were so different back then because I was in a different place in my life, and all those girls were as well. And now we're all sort of like older, a bit more settled, and friendships just are different as you get older, I think. They're just, you're not spending every day talking, all day, every day talking in group text with each other. You're not seeing each other every day. You're not spending all weekend, overnight with each other. And, but it just becomes a different friendship.
It's interesting. It definitely does change over the years and stuff like that. And I think if you're single and you're partying or whatever, then that's sort of your focus, and you will gravitate towards those friends who are single or not even single but partnered that like to go out, you know. And then you've got friends that are coupled up and they've got their routine, maybe some kids. Like for me and my friendship with Dee and Ella, as soon as they had Octavia, our friendship changed from whatever it was, and it wasn't super going out because that wasn't really their thing, but it changed to bed and bath routine, you know, and it still is now to this day, like every week now that they've got, you know, their second child in Cassian. So it's really cool how friendships can adapt and evolve. But I know that you've mentioned when you have kids, friends who don't have kids sort of don't get it. So do you want to touch on that?
Yeah, well, they can't. I mean, it's like anything in life. If you've never been there, or if you've never done something, or it's like visiting a country, you don't know what it's like until you're there. And so you can't hold it against people because they don't know. And I had friends that had kids before me, not like super close friends, but I had friends that had kids before me. And, you know, there's things that maybe I wish I had done different, like just been there maybe a little bit more, been more understanding, or understood that if they can't meet me out to catch up, maybe I should go to them, you know?
I literally learned that so quickly when I started having friends having kids, and now knowing and having babysat kids and stuff, even just getting a fucking kid in a car is like, can be traumatic. So little shout out there to any people with friends who have kids. Be compassionate, meet them wherever they want to go. If it's at their house, easier, even better. True?
Like, absolutely.
Cut them some slack.
Absolutely. Like a park, but if your kid, if it's more stressful, because there was a time where Oak was like 18 months out, if I took him to a park, there's no point me going with anyone because I can't catch up with them because I'm chasing him.
Exactly. You're literally now just like Cassian, right?
Different. Yeah, exactly. Now it's a little bit different. My nephew's exactly the same. Like if I was with my nephew and someone wanted, I'd be like, no, because he requires. But I think also, again, you don't understand until you're there. And I do think that I'm excited for when my kids, when my friends who don't have kids and my kids are a bit older, because I'm going to be such an epic friend.
I know.
You because will. I understand the value in visiting at their house, you know, taking food. Not even necessarily taking food. Like, I'm not saying there's a list of things you should do, but just understanding
that's
that
totally on the list.
Okay, it depends also what sort of friend, friendship you've got. But just visiting at their house or saying, like, hey, where suits you? Like, what's easy for you?
Or are you okay?
Yeah. Oh, like, huge. Like, absolutely. Like, sleep deprivation with a newborn is next level. Like, not to go into it, this is not what we're talking about, but I think relationships also become very different when you have kids. And I think sometimes the person who doesn't have kids could also feel like, well, we're just so different now. Like their priorities yeah. are so different. We are so different yeah. now. We've got nothing in common. I don't want to sit around talking about kids. They don't want to sit around hearing about my life without kids, which isn't true, by the way. Like when you've got kids, and especially at the beginning, any adult conversation is great.
Yes, yeah.
But I think also, yeah, there's almost like a communication barrier. It's like I'm speaking mm-hmm. a different language now when I'm not. I still love to talk about everything else I used to talk about. I've just got a kid now. And so yeah. for me, like the distance that was created between us and some of our friends when we had kids came as a bit of a shock because I had heard it happen yeah. before, but I was like, nah, like why?
Yeah.
But I understand that people just don't get it until they're in that position. And also they may go, oh, I'd love to catch up with this person, but they've got the kids, so too hard basket. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like they can't go out for a drink. They can't do this. They can't do that. Oh, some people can. Some people choose not.
Some people stop inviting parents because,
which is terrible.
They don't come, but that's you shouldn't do that.
The thing is, you shouldn't, because for a long time when I had Oak at the beginning, and like you're getting used to breastfeeding out in public, and you're getting used to just having a kid in public, and it does take a while. And I understand, like, you can ask someone so many times, but at the same time, like there does come a point where the kids are old enough to be able to go out, and
yeah,
it's just nice to feel like you're not just completely forgotten because you've had a child. But then
yeah.
the great thing about it is you meet a whole new bunch of friends because you've had kids. Like I've met mm-hmm. some amazing people through being a mum and reconnected to other old friends from like school from being a mum. So look, it swings and roundabouts, but again, I think if you've got friends with kids or you've got friends that are about to have kids, or just be understanding to the fact that, like, they don't want to feel like an inconvenience, they don't want to feel like a nuisance, but they also still deserve to have friends.
That's a really good way of putting it. Yeah.
And they don't want to feel like their kid is an inconvenience, because I tell you what, if anyone made me, and no one necessarily made me feel like this, but I never allowed anyone to, I guess. But if anyone ever made me or my child feel like I was an inconvenience, then you're not a friend and you're not in my life. My child's not an exactly. inconvenience. If you care about me and if you're my friend, then so is my child. So that's just it at the end of the day. And some people just aren't kid people, and I completely get that. Some yep. people just don't have it in them to be around kids a lot. You know what it's like, Reets. They can be emotional. Like you spent 5 days with Oak down south, and like he's pretty good. Like he's pretty relaxed. Yeah. But at the same time, like there's bedtime routine. There's, you know, yeah. it's a lot. It's a lot. And Oak's pretty chillax. So mm-hmm. if you've got a friend that's got a kid that's maybe fairly overactive or fairly hard to deal with, or, you know, is very emotional, then it's a lot to be around. But I'm telling you right now, it's a lot harder for the parent than it is for you.
Yeah, I get that. I'm lucky because before you had Oak, Dee and Ella had Octavian, now Cassian, and I was around that. I was across it. So I can easily integrate into a situation like when we went down south and know that there's nap time, know that our schedule has to be around Oak, know that there's bedtime, bath time, whatever. In fact, I even got in the bath with Oak.
You did. Remember that? You were great.
So that obviously helps, but again, it's not your fault if you don't have any friends with kids or you don't have kids and you don't know how to interact. But to Lee's point, like, just be understanding and sympathetic and don't forget about them. Don't you?
Yeah, because being a parent can be very lonely. Like I said at the very beginning, it can be very lonely. And so, you know, a pop in for like 20 minutes can literally make such a difference. But no, I think you're like the perfect friend that doesn't have kids because you're understanding, and but you also make it fun. You're like a funty, you're like a fun auntie, you're like my little sister.
Yeah.
And I totally get it. We didn't have kids for other people to, you know, navigate their life around us, but at the same time, if I'm a friend, I'm a friend with kids and without kids.
Literally. Amen. Totally. Now let's talk a little bit about friendship fights and friendship breakups, because I think we've both had our share individually, separately throughout the years. And I think someone actually wrote into us and sort of said, like, one, how do you navigate long distance friendship? And on that point, I just want to say that you have to make effort to keep it going. And there's friends that you can not speak to for a couple of months and then send a voice memo to or pick up the phone and it's like you never left. And then there's other friends that there's so much that happens and you might feel disconnected. But the number one thing that I will say for us is that we've had periods where we're close, we've had periods where we're not so close, but we're still friends almost like, what, 8 years later? I don't know, eight, seven, whatever.
Something.
And it does take effort. That's the key, in my opinion. But, I mean, we've had our fights too.
I think that, like, with you and I, what's good, like you said, and I've got a handful of friends like this, Brooke Vantwist, Caitlin Coyles, KJ, just to name a few, that I don't talk to for months, but literally, like you said, I could message them and it's all good. Claire Dunn is another one. She's literally never just going to leave my life. Not that I want her to. I'm just saying, like, we've been friends for so long that there's no ending that now.
That's like Lorena and I, to be fair. Or KJ and I. Yeah.
And so, but then I think for you and I, like you said, it takes effort, but it also takes understanding that, you know, you have moments in your life where shit is happening, shit's going on, like having a kid or becoming a parent, and or like just with you when you were traveling and just trying to get your shit together, like it's going to happen, and that's the life of an adult. And I think we've just never held that against one another and never pulled the, or you know, you're not there for me card. I think it's just
You can't be self-righteous in friendships. Unless
when you're long distance.
This happens a lot. Kids, fair enough. That's a great excuse. But this does happen a lot. Someone will enter a new relationship and then forget all about their single friends a little bit.
Oh, it's
and to the single friends out there, it's a stereotype. And to the single friends, I'd say there's a point. Like, you have to be understanding of the honeymoon phase in a relationship, because everyone's been there and it's fucking awesome. But you also have to respect where they're at. Like, it takes two to tango. Like, one being a needy friend, like, no one likes me, no one's to hang out with me. You can make effort and you can ask too. But also the coupled friend, like, don't forget about your single friends, because that does suck.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think everyone's been there on both ends. But I think that just understanding, and also, like, you and I make time, like, if it's a 10-minute phone call, like, when I was on my way to work, or a 10-minute phone call when I'm driving with Oak here and there, like, it makes a difference. Like, and it's just that I also think that now, again, with social media, you're able to like, just do that quick reply to someone's
voice memo.
Or a voice memo. Yeah. And it's a way of being like, oh, I'm keeping up with your shit. Like, like, I'm still here, sending love. Like, and I do think social media is good for that, because you can still sort of keep some sort of connection with friends that way. But coming back from like an argument or a fight, I can't actually remember like the last legit argument or fight that I had with a friend, to be honest, because
we had one like years ago, like 5 years ago, and it was that sort might have of been my business last. Related. Yeah. Oh, wow.
No, but I think if for you and I, again, like, if you come at each other aggressively, or if you come from just your point of view, if you come with just your point of view and you've got no desire to see the other person's end, it's probably not going to go well. I think you've got to try and see from where they're coming from, see their perspective, be understanding, not be aggressive. And if the friendship's worth it to you, you'll figure it out, like, eventually.
Exactly.
And if it's not, then don't, why? Because it's just going to keep happening, sort of thing. But I just think that, again, like, everyone's living a different life. And it's sometimes hard to see things from other people's perspective. Friendship, relationship, marriage, siblings, like, it's really hard to see things from other people's perspective if you're really solid in your views. But at the same time, you've just got to remember that your truth is not everyone's truth. And I think that's the most crucial part to coming back from an argument with a friend, especially, is that, okay, I may not agree with them, but I've got to respect their opinion, unless it's like some really toxic, negative, terrible, like homophobic opinion.
Of course not. Fuck those motherfuckers off. But anyway, for everyone else, I mean, I've got a friend who you know, who you've met. We had a stupid fight, like, I don't know, a year ago, maybe two years ago now. And it was just she thought that I said something and I sort of did, but I didn't mean any harm by it. And there was a bit of a, she got really offended by that. We stopped talking. And I was really upset by it. No doubt this person was too. She thought she was right. I thought I was right, or not in the wrong, I should say it. And I think time can really change things. Like, here we are, and it was about a month or two ago. And I think I'd maybe donated to a fundraiser that she did or something in the past. And then she reached out to me and just said, hey, I'm loving the pod, out of nowhere. Like, we hadn't spoken, and she sort of just put out that olive branch, and we just quickly sort of had a bit of a hello and whatever. And not to say that we're instantly best friends now, but it's just nice to know that sometimes time, and when your priorities do change, time is enough to get over it and not even revisit that argument and say, oh, I'm sorry, or I should have done that, or I still hate you for that. You don't even have to revisit that. Just move forward with your life and value each other for where you're at now. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And it's so true. Even if you haven't had a fight, that group of friends that we were talking about earlier, like, you and I both had a fair amount of distance. Oh, turn your fucking phone off, Rita.
Honestly. It does. It's a lot. Go.
And we had a fair amount of distance and time from that group, just naturally, life. You and I sort of went one way, and not to say they went another, and we, you know, it's just we had a bit of distance. And I think you were moving back to Melbourne, and anyway, nothing happened. Like, nothing was dramatic. There was no argument. There was no fight. And now that I'm like 30 and living the life I'm living now, I've actually found that my relationship with most of those girls is not like, we're not best friends, like, we don't hang out all the time, but we almost have that respect and appreciation for each other that we were close for a really long time, and we are so happy for each other to be where we are now, and we're almost cheering each other on, knowing we had that special knowing we had that really special time and like a few years where we were really, really, really close. And that sort of, you know, recently I went to a 30th of one of those girls, and a lot of them were there. And it's and it was literally just like, we knew we had that little bond from when we were so close years ago. And a couple of them now, like Noose and Bao, like it's almost like I've reconnected them with them. And Noose and I were you know, like this, joined at the hip all those years ago. And she's about to have her first child, and that's not what reconnected us. She actually, we actually made quite a bit of effort before she fell pregnant. But our friendship's great now. We don't talk all the time. We don't even talk every week. But our relationship's great. Her baby shower's this weekend, and I'm actually really gutted to be missing it. But it's weird how time can change things, and you can appreciate people in different, like, periods of their life. And now, Noose and I are so close, and I'd consider her one of my closest friends. But, again, we don't even talk that often. We don't talk all the time. Yeah, which is totally fine.
There's friendships where you talk like a lot, like you and I, like if I've got a dating update and I'm like, oh my God, guess what happened last night? Mm. And you send me crying emoji faces. Or there's friends that you know, you think of randomly, and 3 months has passed, and you just pick up the phone and say, hey, what's going on? Or send a reply to their story, like you said. Like,
yeah.
And one isn't of greater value than the other. Do you know what I mean?
There's definitely friends that I notice if I haven't spoken to in like a week or two. You're definitely one of them.
I'm one of them,
Yeah, for sure. But I know that there's no damage done. It's not like you're sitting there going, hang on. And I've got – and actually one of my mum's friends, Shannon, will be like, hey, haven't heard from you for like a week. What's going on? Like, it's, and then there's friends that I – like Brooke Vantwist. We literally could go 6 months and, you know, it's like nothing's changed. Yeah. It's crazy. Friendships are crazy, and I'm actually really happy with where I'm at with my friendships at the moment. I feel like I've got a good balance between like mum friends that I can reach out to, and then like the friend like you. You and me talk about, you know, you're interested in
single Oak. Friend.
Yeah, no, but you're interested in Oak and my family. But at the same time, we just love to talk shit, and I need that. I don't want to forget who I am, and who I am in my core is a shit talker. So I don't want to forget who I am. I want to love me for me, and I need that. I need my mum friends to be like, oh my God, like, what's your day been like?
And then poo all over me.
Yeah. And then, like, I need my you friends and that to sort of balance me out.
To be like, she did what?
Yeah, I know. No, exactly.
Yeah.
I know. And I think people just think when you've got kids, you just mature automatically. Like, you don't. I haven't.
No.
There's certain conversations I would never have in front of my children, but I can have them when I'm on my own in the car with you.
Very true. Very, very true. I can't even think of any of the scandalous stuff you've told me because it's normally PG, not going to lie. But anyways.
Because that's my life. My life is that's PG.
Literally your life. I will just say that they're, I'm one of those people where if any of my immediate rock relationships are on the rocks, I feel very unhinged. Like you, Katie, my mum, my sister, Dianella, like you're pretty much my rocks, I guess. Sorry if I've missed anyone, Soz. And I remember this one time when Katie and I were traveling, we had a fight in Budapest and it was big because we don't really fight that often / at all. And it was just so shit. I remember coming back because I left, like we went to Amsterdam for like a night after this fight in Budapest at this festival, and then I pretty much came home, and it just felt so shit knowing that like we were on bad terms. But just know that honestly, with time, things happen, and there is a period of awkwardness in a post fight, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a friendship, or whatever it is. You've just got to get through the awkwardness, and then time progresses, you catch up like normal, and you forget whatever you've. Katie's probably like, I don't even know what you fought about, but I remember, and I'm sorry because I was a bit of a dick. So, yeah, that's my rant on navigating friend fights and friend breakups.
It's so true. You do have those people that if you're not good with, you struggle with. Yes. Like you struggle with. And, like, I'm the same, and I know that with my sisters. Like, oh, my sisters and I are so the same. Like, we will get really, like, heated. Never, like, nasty or personal or anything, not anymore. When we're teenagers, we definitely did. But like, we definitely get like quite the debate will get quite heated at times. Especially me and my little sister have had some very heated debates, and it's so funny because like, in the moment we both don't care like how offensive we are, as long as like you know you don't go too far, and then. But, like, 10, 20 minutes later we'll message each other with our, like, what we're sorry for. Because it's almost like we've both got other shit on our mind and then we take it out on each other because we know we can. But then once it's out and we calm down, we're both like, oh, that was fucked. Like, I'm not proud of myself for that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Especially me and my younger sister and, like, my older sister and I, like, we've had disagreements, but like I can't remember the last time we had like a full-on argument or fight, just because like the people we are now as adults, and we know it's not like good, there's no point. But
and do you think you get over it quicker because you have kids as well? Like you sort of have to get
over it. Maybe but also like and we see each other all the time, but also we've just had, and honestly, like given how different we are in a way and how often we clashed heads as teenagers, like we do very well now to navigate it. But when we've had disagreements as adults, it really is more just like trying to stay calm. But then again, the apology sort of comes in a little bit later, and you know, we'll say, I don't ever mean to offend you, but I really needed to be honest. Like I really needed to tell you how I felt. And so it depends on the person as well. I know with my little sister, Shan, like her and I are so honest with each other, like all the time, and that's so good. And then we've had disagreements, though, where it's like almost immediate that we're like, I'm sorry, like I wasn't proud of myself. I don't mean to upset you. Or one of us will cry and then that's, I can't.
That's it, done.
My sister's crying. Oh, I can't.
I've seen it.
My mum. I can't handle seeing my brother doesn't cry, but well, not in an argument, but as soon as one of us starts crying, like that's it. We're just like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sibling fights are just so different because you know you'll bounce back and you know that you can't get away from them. You know siblings have to stick around.
Yeah, that's true.
But then it's also like hard, yeah. Sibling fights are the next level.
Well, for what it's worth, I'm grateful for our very long-winded friendship over the years and how now, like, I'm your favourite non-mum-mum friend.
Yeah,
even though you're a mum. But because some people like could have fallen out or like not been as close, but for whatever reason we've stuck at it despite the distance, despite our completely different circumstances. Like if you think about it, that's pretty special, isn't it?
Well, I think because you and I have always taken an interest in each other's lives, like no matter how different they are, you've always shown an interest in my family. And I've always shown, because I love the goss.
My shit.
I love the tea. But even the more intricate stuff of you, like, you know, your land loan and getting your house, like I think you've got to be interested in people's lives and supportive of their life.
Yeah.
And, true. You know, there's probably so many things that I've told you in my time being a parent that you're like, I don't care about it. But you show support, you act like you do, and I feel supported by you as a friend. And I hope that it's the same in return and that I genuinely am interested in your life. But even when you're not that interested in what they're talking about, they're still your friend and you're still supportive of them.
They deserve to be heard. Yeah.
Absolutely.
100%. Amen. Agreed. Now, just to wrap things off, you're obviously due in like a week. So this is probably going to be your last episode. Is there anything you want to tell everyone? We obviously, on behalf of all of our Me For Her Pod fans, wishing you and Tay all the best for Bubba number 2. Super excited, can't wait, and we will go on without you.
The show must go on. Yes, just send a lot of good luck to my wife. We're having a home birth. We've done as much prep as we can. Everything's set up, the pool's blown up. We'll share our news on the gram when we're ready.
When you're ready, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just really, really excited. It's crazy. I'm actually super excited to go into labour and just do it at home. I know that sounds bizarre, but.
No, it doesn't. Sounds cool.
When you had some choices stripped of you in your first pregnancy and labour, and if you've had kids, you'd understand. The fact that this is all on my terms is amazing, and I'm so excited. And I will miss doing the potty, but. What great content to come back to then.
Oh, my God, can't wait.
But, yeah, we'll miss it all, and I can't wait to update you all. And some of you may not give a fuck. Some of you may be waiting to hear the news. But hopefully.
Someone messaged me today saying that she's had withdrawals because we missed a week. So they're gonna struggle. Baby world. Yeah, just send Oak. Just chuck him on with me. Have you seen that that pod that I sent you with that little kid and its dad?
Oh,
it's
so cute. Speak of the devil, yes.
Hello, Oaky.
Oaky, look, it's Rita. Oaky, come say hello to Rita.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, Eater.
Hello, Eater. I sure am.
Oaky, come here for a second.
Mommy, what does?
That's your apple picker.
Apple picker, dude.
What does an apple picker
hello,
do?
Dude.
Okay, ready? You want to hear Rita?
What's up, Mr. Oaky? How you doing,
hello, Rita.
Man? What's up?
Did you go to the park?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we will wrap things up there. I'll let Lee do the outro since it's going to be her last one for a little while.
Well, thank you so much, everyone. I can't wait. Okay, sit still. I can't wait to share our news with you all. Hopefully it's soon, like I said. But in the meantime, keep being entertained by Reeks. Yeah, Bubba. Hey. Yeah, I'm about to come out with you, okay? Can you just wait a couple seconds? Thank you all, me for her, potty people. I can't wait to share our news with you soon. Hopefully it's really soon and Oki will be a big brother. But keep listening. I'm sure Reeks will keep you all very entertained and I can't wait to be listening as I lay on the couch trying to sleep.
Breastfeeding.
Yes, and doing all the cool newborn things again. And I will speak to you all soon.
See you soon.
keep updated though on our socials at the Me For Her Pod. Like and subscribe.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.